Joining me in the studio now is Gerry Stanley from Dublin Fire Brigade, from the training centre down there in Marino. You're very welcome, Gerry. Thanks very much for coming into us.
Thanks,
Gerry. The reason I put in, and I really wanted to hopefully have a chat with somebody from Dublin Fire Brigade this week, especially, was I was home last week and my son showed me a video on YouTube, and it's one of those promotional shots or something that you often see of how quick a fire spreads through a home or whatever. And there's a Christmas tree, lovely Christmas tree in the corner, and the plug sparks. And in less than 60 seconds, the room is engulfed in thick black smoke. I mean, it's so fast, it's scary. Absolutely scary. It really is frightening. And I thought to myself, now, there's something, you know, it's a great time of year, everyone, and they're putting up all the lights and all, but you really have to be very careful.
Oh, you certainly do, Mark. And like Christmas trees, everybody loves a real Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
And if not treated with a bit of respect, they can dry out and they become very, very flammable. And
yeah,
I'm sure that YouTube video described that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things you can do to reduce the flammability of your Christmas tree and mm-hmm. events like that happening. What you really should do when you purchase a new tree or a real tree is cut off the couple inches from the base and sink it in a bucket of water. The tree will absorb it. Behaves like a wick. It'll absorb all this water, and you can put about 8 or 10 litres in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it means it keeps the leaves fresh and moist and reduces the flammability, because if not, they will dry out very quickly. And if you are unfortunate to be involved in a fire, they are very, very flammable.
Yeah, well, I mean, anybody who's used to having real Christmas trees, and we'll talk about the artificial ones in a minute, because they are, we'll imagine, equally as just combustible. You know, everybody knows they dry out and you see all the pine needles and all falling off. So, I mean, it does make sense that you keep it hydrated and just for that safety precaution. But, you know, we've had a growth in the last few years, especially maybe the last 10 or 15 years. We've kind of gone this American way now with all the lights and all mm-hmm. this. And that's a huge overload on sockets and stuff like that.
It certainly is, and I mean, it's really common sense prevailing. Overloading sockets is a danger to the current. You're better off having separate sockets in your house, but there's only so much a system can take. Anything that produces heat is liable to cause a fire. No more what you do any other time of year. You know, don't overload your sockets.
And heat is the danger here. I don't want to kind of belittle the dangers of overloading the electricity, but the build up of heat is the danger.
Yeah, it is. Like, you can, even notwithstanding overloading your sockets, if you threw some sort of, you know, material over lights, that can heat up, and once it reaches the ignition temperature, and again, if it's near the tree or the decorations or anything flammable, it can catch fire very quickly.
Well, I mean, we've been guilty of it ourselves. I know I've been guilty of it down the years in my own house, and you know, you get the old 6-gang adapter and you pop all the plugs in it and you bury it behind the curtains because you don't want anybody seeing it. I'm at the tidy in the house, you need to get that out of the way, and it's behind the curtains and it's building up heat and everyone forgets about it, and then poof.
Certainly. And then there's other no more than my own household. Once a year you're bringing down all the lights and you have them wrapped up in a ball all year. And you pull them out, and you know, you should really check that the wiring is still intact.
Absolutely.
These are all common sense
things. That's the thing, as we said. I mean, they are common sense things, but in the kind of furore of Christmas, and everybody's just on the go and they're buzzing, and oh, that looks lovely, and put more lights there and get more lights over there. And people just say, just stick another double adapter on there, be grand, and all about it. And I mean, we have, I suppose, in this kind of digital age with the likes of your Sky boxes and your laptops and your computers and all, and you know, again, I know I slipped into it for a long time of just leaving them all on standby. And I thought that was safe. But then was my son's one day just opened the cabinet of the TV cabinet, and he says, "Dad, the heat. The heat is in." And that's the thing you want to be wary of. And of course, the other thing at Christmas, I don't know, well, my wife does, I don't know, lots of people do it, but you get the proliferation of candles as well and other things like that. And they're all things that it all looks lovely, but you really have to be on the ball.
And I mean, I'm sure, as you know, they have become very popular lately.
Absolutely,
re-emergence of candles and, you know, people lighting them. But again, the thing with candles is, like, they shouldn't be placed anywhere near Christmas trees. I've actually come across instances where they were on Christmas trees. They should be in holders, proper candle holders, particularly the small tea lights, which, again, you can put them on the top of basis without a holder, and they will sink through TVs, you know, plastic stuff like that. But there's also new battery operated candles, although everyone likes the real candles. But again, it's at the end of the night, make sure they're all blown. No more with your lights pulled out.
They're all out.
Candles
probably.
Are all blown out, so you should designate a member of the family. That's their job.
Yeah. I don't get it myself. I don't get the candle thing. I kind of, yeah, we moved on from candles 100 years ago. Why are we still, yeah, you know?
Make sure they're all fragrant candles, yeah, they're, yeah, in the bathrooms, they're everywhere, yeah, you know.
The women loved them, you know. I mean, I frightened my life one night. Everyone was gone to bed, and my wife was at the light in the field, the tea light candles and these little holdery things, yeah, or whatever it was on. I'm sitting watching, I don't know what, I was watching a movie or something late at night. And I just out of the corner of my eye saw this. And the candle had burned, the wick had burned right down, and there was a little sticker, little plant, and when it got to the end, it just whoosh, and it just frightened, it just, and I told myself, now, if we'd have forgot to put that out,
yeah,
we were sitting, now, Dad, you never know what was going to happen, mm-hmm, with that. Mm-hmm. But as you were saying, Gerry, I mean, a lot of it's common sense, and, you know, people just need to be very aware. I was telling you before I came on, I made a decision there a couple of years ago. I got a load of new sockets put into my house because I was guilty of the overloading the sockets with the extension leads and the double adapters. And it's not a huge job as people would think. It's as long as you have somebody who's qualified and knows what they're doing,
exactly,
it
can, yeah,
and it does give you peace of mind. And all mine are on switches, so you knock all the switches off, mm, and then you know the juice isn't going through, yeah, or whatever. But
and then, well, I suppose other things then, you know, is became the fire has been lit and chimneys should really be cleaned, spark guards in place before you go to bed.
And people are just in festive humour, and you know, you get to Christmas itself, and people are probably having a few drinks, and and you just tend to switch off for that. And mm-hmm, as I say, that was what really got me, was that video, and it happened so fast, so fast. It's getting, I mean, this room was engulfed in thick black smoke. I mean, there was a gap along the floor about that.
Yeah, and that's all within 60 seconds.
Oh, so less than
you're
60
in bed.
Seconds. Yeah. You're now getting out. You're in trouble.
And following on from that point is smoke alarms.
Yes.
Now, it's a time of year where, unfortunately, mm-hmm, it is sad, but every year there's usually some tragedy over Christmas. But I can't stress the importance of having smoke alarms in your house, and not having them, but making sure that they work. So this time of year, you should be checking the batteries of them all, testing them, ensuring you've one on each floor, ensure that the kids know, mm-hmm, when this goes off, here's what we do. So plan a route of escape for your children and your family outside your house.
Yeah, it's something we did years ago because not myself, but we had experiences of friends of ours, and there was a pan fire started downstairs. Someone came in after having a few drinks and whatever, blah, 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 put on the cuke, and only the smoke alarm saved the family, because the fire brigade told them that if the smoke alarm hadn't been there, they wouldn't have got out. And the guy who was in the middle of it, he was having a few drinks, and it was only the smoke alarms got the alert out quick enough that they dragged that guy out. He was so close to being finished, you know. And my kids do it now. Every Monday my kids go up the stairs and they press the button, and they'd often say to me, "Dad, we didn't check the buttons today." And I said, "Well, go ahead and press them." And it's vitally important. And I said, I wonder, you don't want to be going into, I mean, I'm sure more than once you've probably found yourself in a situation where there's been a tragedy or whatever, and you found smoke alarms where the battery's just wasted or it's disconnected.
Many times people take it out, it's annoying, it's bleeping, which means it needs to be changed.
Yeah.
I'll take that out, I'll get it changed. Unfortunately, they don't.
And the escape route as well. I mean, the same with my kids. I'm sure many people do, knowing the escape route as well. I mean, I'm lucky enough that I have an escape out my back window. It's onto it. There's a roof just literally. So there'll never be, God forbid him. Well, but that was always the plan. I said, that's where
you're
heading.
You have two means of escape, there, so you can take your choice depending on.
Out there, run across to the neighbours and bang their bedroom or whatever. But that's
or
the way.
Scream,
that's
shout,
the way out.
And, you know, the children, it's a really important to stress to the children the importance of, the escape route, the drop roll. In the event of fire,
And get out and stay out.
Get out and stay out. All the fire brigade.
Just coming to my head now. There's a good ad running on one of the, I don't know whether it's the Irish channels it's running on as well. Is it Fast? It's called us. It's about the escape route, and I can't remember where it was. Just saw it last night, but again, it's all about fire safety this time. So a few simple steps, Gerry, that people should really follow or be aware of
Well, okay, well, say in reverse order, your smoke alarms.
Yes.
Check that they're working. Get new batteries. Plan an escape route.
Yeah.
Use common sense in the use of lights, electrics, sockets. Unplug everything every night before you go to bed.
Yeah.
Put up a spark guard. Get your chimney cleaned.
Mm.
And ensure that your Christmas tree is in a safe place. And again, use the suggestion of the real tree. Put the water in it.
Yeah.
It will make a difference.
Yeah, because I used to see years ago, people, and it was very few people, they put it into a bucket of wet sand, or wet soil rather, and they'd be putting the water in. We'd say, why are you putting the water in it for? But that was obviously the
And
reason.
Also, as well, I mean, there's only so much water it will absorb because the tree is gone.
Yeah.
But is the recurrence after Christmas, people leaving the tree 2 weeks after, and it really dries out then, and it's probably
leave it
in the worst condition lying around. So recycle it.
I suppose that, you know, this time of year, we always hear that Halloween is a really busy time for but I mean, that gets the focus for the obvious reasons where people are out there and they're setting fires for fun. But I mean, at Christmas, people probably aren't just as much aware, but I'm sure it's an equally busy time for yourselves and the fire.
It's extremely busy for the fire service, for the fire and ambulance service, of course. It's extremely busy. So, and just another point again for picking communities is checking on elderly neighbours who may put on Christmas trees, Christmas lights, you know, and may not be
just as fall asleep or whatever. And I suppose, you know, there's nothing more tragic than you would imagine, you know, going to somebody's home and there's tragedies befall them. And, you know, even if, you know, there's no loss of life or whatever, there's no serious injuries, to lose your home and your possessions and everything,
particularly when a lot of this can be prevented.
A few simple steps is very very preventable, and it's very helpful. Well, Jerry, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us. And if people want to get more information or check up on it, they can just go to the Dublin Fire Brigade website.
You can go to the Dublin Fire Brigade website or contact the training centre.
Contact the training centre.
And just the Dublin Fire Brigade, I'd like to wish all your listeners a happy and a very safe Christmas.
And thanks, Jerry, and it's very much appreciated. And I'm sure I speak on behalf of all the listeners when we say to Dublin Fire Brigade, it's hugely appreciated the job you guys do, because it's a very stressful job, it's a very difficult job. You guys have families and all at home as well, and you are out there day and night, and you know, you're there when people call. And you know, we know we've been through a lot of difficult times, you know, austerity wise and everything else, but you know, you guys turn up when the phone rings and when the bell goes, you guys turn up time after time, and probably don't get the credit you deserve half the time, in fairness. And you know, on behalf of myself and EFM and all our listeners, we'd like to thank all you guys at Dublin Fire Brigade and all the Fire Brigade and all the ambulance services around the country for the great job you do, because God knows where we'd be without you. So thanks very much, Jerry.
No problem, mate. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot for coming in.
Okay.
So there you go, that's Jerry Stanley from Dublin Fire Brigade, and as he said, it's a lot of it is common sense, but sometimes this time of year common sense tends to go out the window with people, and you know, you just need to be aware, pull out all the plugs. The lights look great, we all love seeing the lights and we all love seeing this, but make sure you pull out all the plugs and make sure you're aware of heat build up and your smoke alarms are all working, and you know, you can get a couple of batteries and woodies for a fiver, you know, just make sure you're smoking, because it will be awful for your Christmas and your family's at any time, but especially at Christmas, for it to be ruined by a tragedy that is hugely preventable. You know, as I say, it's great to see all the colour and all the lights, but be safe, people, and be aware of the dangers. Okay, we're going to have another piece of music now. This is John Lennon, and this is going out to Debbie and Paula from Vincent. He'd like to wish the two of them a very happy Christmas. This is Starting Over.
Our life together is so precious. Together we have grown. We have grown. Although our love is still special, let's take a chance and fly away somewhere alone.
It's been too long since we took the time. No one's to blame. My no time flies so quickly. But when I see you, darling, it's like we both are falling in love.
like starting over. Starting over. Every day we used to make it love. Why can't we be making love nice and easy? It's time to spread our wings and fly. Don't let another day go by, my love. It'll be just like starting
your face while you are sleeping and holding hold your hand. Don't understand what's going on. Good times we had return to haunt me. Now it's for you. All that I do seems to be wrong.
There you go, that's E17 and Stay Another Day. Okay, the guests are coming thick and fast this morning. It's brilliant. It's like a conveyor belt of guests this morning. It's, I love it when it happens like that. Who I have with me now is Trish Gaynor. And Trish Gaynor is from the Local Employment Services here in on Bundratty Drive in, what do you say it was, the Coolock?
Coolock Development Centre, the Northside Partnership.
Ah, okay.
Mark.
You're very welcome, Trish. Thanks very much for coming in this afternoon. Local Employment Services, I suppose the last few years has been busy, busy, busy.
It has. It's been very busy, and it's been a great resource for people to help, you know, help them plan and basically develop a career path plan and maybe not so much always get back to work, but just get back to a plan or a path that will ultimately get them back to work. That's what we're about.
Yeah, I suppose... and we've discussed this before, you know, lots and lots of people who probably uniquely this time around, lots of people who would have had maybe 10, 20, 30 years experience in some cases suddenly finding themselves, what am I going to do? And that's where the need for the training and all, I suppose, come in.
Yeah, and that's basically what we look at. And the wonderful part about the Northside Partnership Local Employment Service, it is a confidential one-to-one service. So it's not that they have to do what everybody else is doing. It's one-to-one. And basically, we work with the individual to develop a plan basically around their skills, needs, educational levels, fears. So it basically works at their level, their path, to help recreate something that suits them.
Well, it's a scary place to find yourself. It really is. I mean, especially if, suppose if you've been used to working from the time maybe you left school, you got a job. And as we did back then, I say back then, I make myself sound ancient. As we did back then, you know, when you came out of secondary school, you got a job and you held on to it for dear life. You know, may not necessarily what you had been planning as a career or as a, but you just kind of held on and you stuck with it and you developed all those skills and everything else. And what's happened now, as I say, with lots of people after being 20 or 30 years in the one company or the one industry, they've probably found themselves with an opportunity to say, well, you know what, I might be able, I've always wanted to do that. So reskilling is there, and the services you provide help people with that.
Absolutely. And again, we use the resources because we're a wonderful community, so to speak, network in the Northside Partnership. We also have a great and a very much expertise in education with an education guidance officer as well, dedicated to the service. And basically, we look at training. There's a lot of government funding training programs about, but we also look at the education and full-time education and at university level. So tapping into those and helping people, you know, basically develop what they want to do and get into a course that best suits them and mm-hmm. achieves their goals with the learning and the workplace goals of the course is something we do. And now we're starting to see the other effect of it, that people now have finished the education and are now going into the workplace for the first time in that new area of reskilling.
excuse me, very dry in here. I don't know what it is. And you said a reskill, and it just gives that whole thing. I mean, I did the jobs club a few years ago, and it was great. I was a bit very tentative going into it, but it's really, really good fun.
And that's a lot of the feedback that people feel. They're apprehensive when we talk about it, and we run a wonderful jobs club in our Kilbarrack office in the Greendale Shopping Centre.
That's where I was.
Yep, and we have a great program running there as we speak. It's still running, and it's still achieving those same goals.
Yeah.
And again, it's sometimes a little bit of a sell to people to say, how about looking at the jobs club? But again, it starts initially giving them that purpose of, I'm going to get up every day for 2 weeks, I'm going to focus on job-seeking skills, but I'm going to get support with it. I'm not doing it alone.
Yeah.
I do have expertise. I have other peers that are also in the same situation, and you share ideas, and it becomes a collective of, oh God, yeah, I can do this, and confidence builds and motivation builds. Mm. So it's still ongoing down there and doing great work.
I can't recommend it highly enough. I have to be honest with you. As I said, I was quite apprehensive going into it, but it was really enjoyable. I think we did it for about 3 weeks. Was it 3 or 4 weeks? Well, I can't remember exactly. I think it was 3 mornings a week for 3 weeks, whatever it was. I can't off the top of my head, but it was, you got to the point where you looked forward to going in, you know. And again, it was that thing of, it was getting you out.
And then I think you'd kind of sometimes look, you know, get not as happy when it ends, because you just feel, God, I've just had this. It actually runs for 2 weeks at the moment.
Yeah.
And people actually don't want it to end, because, you know, it feels good to be part of this group that is doing this work. But also, we've had the fortunate opportunity to have employers come in and basically talk to people. And it's not necessarily that they always get a job from that employer, but when you ask a client, how did you feel? And they said, well, I felt better because I actually got to speak to an employer rather than applying for a job and getting no replies. So there is some great advice that they're getting from HR people.
Well, we loved it when it was over, because we went into the pub and
right celebration.
We had a good old, but I mean, again, it was this group of people who came together, and you're all in the one boat, really. Mm-hmm. You're all at the find yourself for one reason or another. You're looking to kind of upskill or just get back out there. And we ended up by the end of the 2 weeks, grand old session, I have to say. It was a great day. It was very enjoyable. The next day wasn't so enjoyable, but that day was good. Trish, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just play in some of the promos here, and we'll come back after this, and we'll have another bit of a chat about all the work you're doing down there.
Great stuff.
No bother. We'll be back to this just after these promos, folks.
This is 90.3 Near FM.
Tune in on Tuesday nights for 2 specialist music shows.
Tune in at 9:30 for Nightbeat with me, your host, John Casey. I'll be playing the best in jazz, hip-hop, blues, electronica, and a lot more besides.
Then tune in at 10:30 for Pure Phase with David Bryan. The best in psychedelic, garage, prog, space, and the avant-garde. Hidden in classic gems from the 60s through to the present day.
Tuesday night, specialist music shows.
It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Here's to the bands every Friday, 2 to 3:30.
Tous les matins de 8 à 9, du lundi au vendredi, notre programme d'infos en français en direct de Paris avec Radio France Internationale. Radio France Internationale, tous les matins de 8 à 9, du lundi au vendredi. Radio France Internationale, weekday mornings from 8 a.m.
My name is Ed Keeley, and over the next 3 programmes, I'm going to take you on a journey to explore the history and natural history of one of Ireland's most important nature reserves, the North Bull Island. This series will look at some of the over 1,100 species of organisms which call the island home, including its mammals, birds and plants, and explore why the island is such a valuable natural resource, situated as it is on the doorstep of our capital city, and the threats that still face its wild inhabitants. So join me over the next 3 Thursdays, starting on the 4th of December at 3:30 p.m. for an Irish Sanctuary, the history and natural history of the Bull Island.
Download the podcast and catch up on your listening at near.ie.
Near FM.
And you're welcome back to the last half hour of Northside Today for this Monday, the 8th of December. Hope you're all wrapped up nice and warm, with the heating on, a cup of tea on the go, because it is an awfully chilly morning out there. The old winter's here with a bang. Okay, still with us is Trish Gaynor from the local employment services here on Bunratty Drive. And Trish, we were just talking before the break there, you know, about the jobs club. And my own experience was, it was very... it was a great bonding experience, and you ended up, I think it was one or two people you ended up staying in touch with, and, you know, how are you getting on, you bump into them, and if people feed off that too, because it kind of makes you, oh, well, he's at the doing well, and they're doing well, and, you know, and it kind of, it's its own momentum gathering kind of thing. It's really, really good experience, you know.
And it's things that you're probably missing from the workplace, because those kind of things happen in the workplace. So that's why we promote programs and participation in programs, because it does replace with what you had when you were working, or if you haven't been, or in school, or in an environment, that there is that sharing and that peer group. And that's the great thing about the Northside Partnership and the Local Employment Service. Yeah. The Northside Partnership Network has so many resources in education, health in the community, parenting courses, healthy food made easy. So there's other programs we look at to link people in. If they feel comfortable in our office, then they sometimes feel comfortable doing our programs.
Yeah.
So basically it gets them back into programs, back into feeling good, back into networking, making friends. And having a bit of a peer group that they makes them feel better.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know my experience was when I was got redundancy, and I'd been in a company for 20-odd years. And for the first 6 months, we're looking out of prison.
Yeah.
It's such a weird experience. It really is.
And lost.
You can become very isolated very quickly, you know. And, the Jobs Club, as I said, it got me out there, and it got me networking again, meeting people, just going. I mean, even right, you're in the and you're doing the class and everything, but then you go and you have your cup of tea and you're talking about the football. And as you say, it is like the camaraderie of a workplace, and it's hugely important, because it just does give you that lift, and that lifts your, raise your spirits, because you can become very isolated, even in your own home with the family all around you. You become very isolated very quickly.
Absolutely, and that's, again, what we see is the isolation. So that even if it's not a 4-year university degree or a 1-year course, people might start by engaging into taster courses or goal-setting programs and things that just make them start feeling better and less isolated, and feel there are supports out there. And like I said, we're fortunate that the Northside Partnership has so many resources and programs in its umbrella that we can tap into and use and work with each other and get feedback and still see the clients while they're in the programs, that they do feel safe, comfortable and less isolated.
I was going to, and you said to me, you're not a great one for stats and facts and figures, so I'm not going to ask you for that as such, but the success rate, we hear in the media all the time now, and the government telling us, you know, that things are getting better. The live register's coming down all the time, stuff like that. And I know it's a whole different conversation. We'll keep that for another day.
Yep.
But for yourselves in the office and the services you're providing, how is it for you, you know, when you see people coming back and going, I got that, or I'm after getting this? And, you know, do you get the feedback? Do you find people make that connection and they go back to you and they say, you know, thanks very much, I'm after getting this, and I'm after
Yes, definitely they do. And it's a feel-good factor, whether it's a job, a course, a work employment community employment program.
Yeah.
People feel better when they do get something because they feel that they've achieved or, you know, gotten the interview and they've gotten through that threshold that we've prepared them for, and then they've gotten on to the next step and they've gotten the job. People feel great, and that's the feedback they give. They're happy to be back at work, and there's activity now. There's a lot of, you know, temporary and part-time jobs happening and that, you know, people are taking and then going back to work casually. A lot of young lads are, you know, getting motivated. They see, you know, a few cranes up and people saying, I might give you a little bit of work. So there is a bit of activity and a bit of more positive feeling about there possibly being more jobs. You know, again, stats I don't have. And, but we do see more activity and people feeling a little bit better about the prospect of the positions that maybe will be coming, or courses. There's a lot of courses and courses that have skills and work placements with them. So, you know, Momentum is a big one that they have, you know, in class training, and then they get, say, a few months in the employment area working and basically getting an employment placement out of it. So, you know, and even JobsBridge for a lot of people that does work, especially if you've, you know, studied and reskilled at something, then you want to take it to the workplace. You could use that to convert it to the workplace and possibly then get a job later on.
Well, as you say, there are those, but you've the CE schemes, the JobsBridge and everything else, and I have views on them. We could talk about them another day.
Lots of people do. Works for some.
It does absolutely works for some, and you know, even if it works for one, it's worth it.
Absolutely.
Even if it works for just one person, it's worth it. Absolutely, 100% agree totally with that. So, you know, we were saying there, you know, the last few years especially, been tough times all around the country, and did you have to adopt the model you worked to cater for the big rise in unemployment there around 2009, 2010? Was it the program you had in place, was it always there, or did it need to be adapted, and or was it just kind of as you went along you added bits on and it became a more all-inclusive kind of program for people?
I think that's the beauty of the partnership. It's always adapted to the needs of the community, and that's what the local employment service is part of. So that is something that we did in the past, but we also did during that downturn. So that is something, though, that we were used to doing, and basically it is about meeting the needs of the community, being a bridge to the people in the community to access not just information but programs, and maybe develop programs that best suit the needs of the community at that time. So I think on a good note, that is a great skill of the Northside Partnership.
Absolutely, because you know, we all hope for a day where, you know, we might get back to some level of full employment or back to the levels we were at. But of course, there's always going to be need for community services, you know, and, you know, that's where it was at, you know, how you adapt. And as you say, that's the beauty of the partnership, is that you adapt to the needs of the community all the time. And if we got to a point where we closer to fuller employment or better employment levels, and the live register drops way back down to pre-2008 levels, the partnership will go on because needs will change.
Yes,
and you adapt to those needs then.
And new programs will be developed. So
absolutely.
And we're always there to adapt, run, and help create new programs.
Yeah. With regards to, you know, I'm just had to come into my head, Trina. Trina is the person who was on the Jobs Club in Kilbarry.
Yeah, now we have a new lady, Jackie Ring.
Jackie. And Maeve was another.
Yeah.
Maeve, I remember. Just had it coming into my head, that name. So Trina and Maeve, you're out there listening. Hi, how is it going?
Jackie Ring is now the coordinator, and that's in the Greendale Shopping Centre.
In Greendale.
In Kilbarry.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to ask you. You know, if people are listening in and they're interested in it, you know, because I suppose one of the things you're constantly working on is getting yourselves out there, letting people know you're there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there was the few fairs, there was one out in Sutton that were you there that day in Sutton?
I wasn't personally, but my colleague Helen Smart was there.
Helen, that's right, I remember that day. I'd remember, but I was just remembering that day. And I think there was another employment fair in Parnells recently as well.
Yes.
And those things are great to get out into the community and let you. And we had one downstairs here actually as well. There was one downstairs.
We work hands in hand with the education department, usually organises a lot of the fairs, and the local employment service is also there. As all the Northside Partnership programs tend to be represented, because there's lots of programs running that people might be interested in.
But, you know, you have your website, and if people are interested in getting in touch with you, the website is
www.northsidepartnership.ie and they could contact the Northside Partnership Local Employment Service directly at 848-5608, and we're on Bunratty Drive and we're located in the Coolock Development Centre.
And of course the local employment services would be able to point them in the right direction anyway.
Absolutely, and the Northside Partnership head office is right next door, and their number is 848-5630.
Well, Trish, as always, it's a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Mark. We've come in any time.
No,
and like I said, we would talk to anybody. Like, you know, just helping point them in the right direction is something we do as well. So,
well, it is usually important that people
talk to anybody.
Yeah, it is usually important that people know that those services are available for them, you know, and that they also know that, much as they might be a tad apprehensive, there's nothing really to be afraid of. And it could be the best decision they ever make. Taking the first step is always the hardest one, but it's usually the best one.
Absolutely. And, come in and say hello and ask a question, and we'd be happy to answer it.
Absolutely. And as I say, Trish, it's always a pleasure. I know you were talking to Noel the last time. I'm at the usurping you off of him. He won't be happy tomorrow. He'll give it out to me. How are you, Noel, if you're listening? Trish says hi. Okay, Trish, listen, thanks so much for coming
Mark.
In. And as
we'll
always, it's a pleasure to have you. And sure, we look forward to seeing you again.
Great stuff. Happy Christmas.
And you too. There you go, guys. That's Trish Gaynor from the Local Employment Service here on Bunratty Drive. And as she said, you know, if you're at home finding yourself at a loose end, you're out walking, you don't know what your next steps are, drop in, say hello, have a cup of tea and have a chat. I promise, from somebody who's been in a jobs club myself, I said, you won't regret it. It's a great experience. It just gives you that little bit of confidence to just put yourself out there and keep on going. All right, we're going to continue on now with a little piece of music. This is another one from John Lennon. This is, I don't know what this one is. Let's just put it on and see. It's the Ballad of John and Yoko.
Trying to get to Holland or France. The man in the match says you've got to go back. You know they didn't even give us a chance. Christ, you know it ain't easy. You know how hard it can be. The way things are going, they're gonna crucify me. Finally made the plane into Paris.
should close the door. And anyway, the snow has covered all your footsteps, and I can follow you no more. The fire still burns at night. My memories are warm and clear, but everybody knows it's hard to be alone at this time of year. It was only a winter's tale, just another winter's tale. And why should the world take notice of one more love that's fled? It's a love that could never be, though it meant a lot to you and me. On a worldwide scale, we're just another winter's tale. Stand alone, a bell is ringing far away. I wonder if you hear, I wonder if you're listening, I wonder where you are today. Good luck, I wish you well, for all that wishes may be worth. Strength are with you for the length of your time on earth. It was only a winter's tale, just another winter's tale. And why should the world take notice of one more love that's failed? Just another winter's tale. Just another winter's tale.
There you go. That's David Essex with A Winter's Tale. That's another one of those you don't hear too often, Brendan.
Yeah, I personally don't anyway.
Yeah, it's about 1982, I think that one was a Christmas hit for Mr. David Essex. 1988 makes me feel old. The fact that I remember it. I remember it being the charts. I remember seeing it on Top of the Pops. Holy God. Well, Brendan, we were just talking there earlier on. You have to be on work experience here for a few weeks now, and you're nearly at the end. How have you found the whole Near FM experience?
Well, I found everybody here very friendly, and it's a very kind of warm and welcoming experience. Like, everything is professionally done, but at the same time, it's just, it doesn't feel as tense here as it does, I can imagine, in other radio stations.
Yeah, it is a bit laid back, as they say. We tend to relax and...
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, well, it's good fun. I mean, you know, we get a lot of people coming in on work experience and things like that, and it's usually important being talking about the employment stuff and all that to be talking about, and it's good when we get people who come in and leave a positive experience that they're having here, you know. So it's good that you enjoyed it. How many, you were saying, you have a few more days with us? Yeah,
I believe I have two more to do. Yeah,
two more. And Mad Planet, you're not going to shock us. You're not going to do that in shocking, I don't know.
Ah, well, that's surprise, yeah. To keep that as a surprise. But no, seriously though, like, I really respect the fact that you're so kind of clued into the community and you're so promoting of community issues and, you know, helping to keep everybody together. I think that's really good. I respect that a lot.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, it's been a pleasure having you joining me on the last few Monday mornings. It's been great having you here, and hopefully we'll be here again next Monday and we'll have a final blowout.
Oh yeah, well, thank you. Thanks for having me, and I'm happy to be here.
No, you're welcome. You're very, very welcome. It's been a pleasure getting to know you, Brendan. Okay, we're going to finish now with one last song, and this it's a tribute to John Lennon. It's probably the best tribute song I think that was ever written. It's called Empty Garden, Hey Hey Johnny, and Elton John wrote it. And he doesn't perform it too often. He only ever performs it in New York. And if you ever get the chance, go on YouTube, see him perform it in New York. It's very emotional for him. Him and John Lennon were friends. But this is the tribute that Elton John wrote for John Lennon after he was murdered. And it's absolutely one of my favourite songs of all time. I really, really love it. I hope you enjoy it. This is Elton John with Empty Garden.
As the New York sunset disappeared, I found an empty garden among the flagstones there. Who lived here? He must have been a gardener that cared a lot, who weeded out the tears and grew a good crop. Now it all looks strange. It's funny how one insect can damage so much grain. And what's it for, this little empty garden by the brownstone door and in the cracks along the sidewalk? Nothing grows no more. He must have been a gardener that cared a lot, who weeded out the tears and grew a good crop. And we are so amazed, we're crippled and we're dazed. A gardener like that one, no one can replace. In younger years, but he'd have said that roots grow stronger if only he could hear. Ooh, live there. He must have been a gardener that cared a lot, who weeded out the tears and grew a good crop. Now we pray for rain.
Most of the day.
There you go. That's Elton John's magnificent, beautiful tribute to John Lennon. What do you think of that song, Brendan?
That's the first time I've heard it now.
Yeah, it's very good. It really is. It's a great song. As I say, Elton John doesn't perform it that often. He only performs it in New York. It's the only place where he'll perform it. But it's a great, great song. So, no better song to go out on, I don't think. And I see the inimitable Mr. Bourne looming large in the door window. So it's time for us to get the hell out of here. Yes, it is indeed time for us to head off. 2 hours at the Flying Inn as usual. My thanks to all my guests for coming in this morning. Tony Monaghan from the Radical Food Company. By all means, check out the Radical Oats. They're really, really tasty. Really, really nice and handy snack for the kids and everything else. Really, really good food. Jerry Stanley of Dublin Fire Brigade, thanks so much for him coming in to us and just telling us all about safety around the home at Christmas. Very important, folks. Just pull out all the plugs, blow out all the candles and keep your family safe. Get your fire, smoke alarms all sorted, everything else, and stay safe this Christmas. And finally to Trish Gaynor from the Local Employment Services here on Bunratty Drive for coming in and having the app with us. It's always a pleasure to see Trish. That's me done. As I say, Liam Bourne will be with you now shortly, and my thanks as well to Brendan. I mightn't get to share the studio with you again, Brendan. It's been a pleasure getting to know you.
Oh, it's been a pleasure to get to know you too, Mark. Thanks very much for the opportunity.
Not at all. Thank you so much. Okay, guys, that's me away. Have a great week. Stay safe, stay warm. And coming up after me is the inimitable Liam Bourne with Lunchtime Miscellany.
This is 90.3 Near FM.
If you thought that environmental destruction, planet meltdown, and even Armageddon was just around the corner, well, you could very well be right. But together, we can do something to halt the destruction of our environment. To find out the why and the wherefore, and possible solutions to saving our environment, why not tune in to Enviro, 3:30 in the afternoons, every Monday, 90.3 FM, with myself, John Houghton.
Senior citizens calling, senior citizens calling. Our mission is to impart relevant information. Tune your wireless to 90.3 FM any Monday from 2:30 to 3:30. Near FM calling, Near FM calling.
I'm Wynne na Muike, Clor Gwelgid, a Craile, a Glahor Tereisha Cuig, Gok Tronona, a Rit na Shachtan. Over, Politiacht, Cursi Raha, Sport, Pastel, Agus Kiel. Oglev, Ledini Archula, O Bolia Aclea, Hor Huig, Agus O Himpo na Tire. I'm Wynne na Muike, Gok Law, a Rit na Shachtan, a Glahor Tereisha Cuig.